Welcome to our examination of the readings for the first Sunday of Lent. At this time, I ask you to stop the recording, take your Bible, and read from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 7 to 9, and chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. What better way to begin Lent than with a reading from Genesis on the origin of the world, of humankind, and our fall from the state of grace that we were created in? Today's creation account from chapter 2 is the second telling of our origin, and while the details may differ from the account in chapter 1, the bottom line remains the same. God created all. In verse 7, we recall that our creation is nothing special in itself, just common, ordinary elements that became extraordinary with the breath of God. Our life and our worth comes from God, not from our own accomplishments. In verse 9, we read of the various trees in the garden for food and beauty, with the tree of life located in the middle. There were two ways our ancestors looked at trees. They were real, but symbolized something more. Or, in a more magical sense, the tree actually possessed magical powers. To eat from the tree of life was to live eternally, while the tree of knowledge is a reference to moral judgment, which could cause death. In calling the second tree the one of knowledge of good and evil, we recall that evil already existed, not in the garden, but with the fall of Lucifer from heaven. In chapter 3, verse 1, there is the question that changed the world, the question that caused doubts to enter paradise. Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden? Notice how Eve adds the prohibition to not even touch the tree. The serpent promises that eating from the tree, their eyes would open and they would be like God. Eve forgot all the good God had done, all they had been given, to focus on the one thing she couldn't have, to be like God. Verse 6 contains the three aspects of temptation. She saw the tree, and it was pleasing and desirable. This is why we give in to temptation so often. It is something that looks good to you, would give you pleasure in possessing it, and is something you really want. After both eating with their eyes opened, they realized they had sinned and covered themselves, just as we have our own feeble attempts to cover up our sins, while it is only God who could mend what has been destroyed. Our second reading comes from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. Again, I ask you to pause and read this section from your Bible. We read three times this Lent from Paul's letter to the Romans, the longest of the epistles, which was written to prepare the Christians in Rome for Paul's arrival there by letting them know who he was, what he believed, and why he preached. In today's passage, Paul is continuing his explanation of the effects that the death of Jesus brought about: justification, peace, and access to grace. Presuming that his audience knows the story of Adam and Eve, Paul shows the extraordinary depth of God's love for all by contrasting Adam and Jesus. If by the trespass of one man, Adam, caused the death of man through sin, transgression, disobedience, judgment, condemnation, and death, how much greater is the precious gift of one man, Jesus, of our acquittal and life for all? Verse 15 contains the phrase, "If by the transgression of the one many died." There are many Bible scholars who believe that a more accurate translation would be, "By the transgression of the one, all men died." In verse 18, we are reminded that not all will be saved, but salvation is available to all, if desired. Through Christ we are made righteous. Righteousness comes from a word meaning straight. So the one who is righteous is the one who follows the straight path, or the right path to salvation, by living in a morally right or virtuous manner. Our gospel reading for the first Sunday of Lent comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. At that time Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, 'One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, and made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, Again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their magnificence. And he said to him, All these I shall give to you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me. At this Jesus said to him, Get away, Satan. It is written, The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. During all three cycles of Gospel readings, we begin the first Sunday of Lent with the passage of Jesus being tempted in the desert, which happens immediately after his baptism by John and before the beginning of his public ministry. Temptation in and of itself is not a sin, unless you give in to the temptation. Continuing the comparison between Adam and Jesus, which we have just read in the reading to the Romans today, we realize how Adam and Eve lacked the strength needed to fight the temptation of the snake, while Jesus rejects the three temptations offered him by relying on the Word of God for strength. Deserts were places and times of barrenness, where one was at their most vulnerable to give in to temptation. And like both Moses and Elijah, Jesus is confronted with temptations that address real human needs. Turning bread into stone would address the hunger Jesus felt, satisfying a physical need for nourishment. The timing is wrong. Jesus is in the desert to prepare more fully for his ministry that he is about to begin, and physical desires are secondary to his spiritual desire to be even more united with his Father. Using a quote from Deuteronomy, Jesus shows he not only knows Scripture, but more importantly, he obeys. The temptation on the parapet of the temple, the central point in Jerusalem, addresses the human need of emotional support. Yes, it's true that at the request of Jesus, God could send angels to catch Jesus as he fell, but that would turn God into a celestial bellhop, and we are to live by internal faith, not on external miracles. The final temptation of being offered the riches of the world addresses the human psychological need of pride. Again, quoting Deuteronomy, all the world is God's and cannot be given to us by another. Some may notice the order of the temptations differ between Matthew and Luke. While those may be troublesome to our human senses, to our faith ancestors, it wouldn't matter. It is the bottom line that's important. And in all three tellings, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus resists temptation by relying on the word and the power of his heavenly Father. This is Deacon Mike reminding you to live the word.